Did you try jerking your plug what? Around? Jerk the plug around a little bit.
It doesn't feel good.
No, but twist it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Just twist it slowly. See if it connects.
It's wet.
No, it's not, because you'd be electrocuted. Mm-hmm. I like this. I do too.
I don't know if I like enough for an intro.
I think it's a fine intro because we're kind of doing it as an intro, so you're kind of you're already there. Anyway.
It's heavy as shit.
Yes. All right. Well, on that note, welcome to the Who Cares podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Jackson.
And we're Jackson and Mark. Wait. Yeah, should go the other way around.
I like the way that sounded, though. That sounded very morning zoo.
It's Mark and Jackson. Welcome to the morning wacky zoo. That was annoying.
That was good. No, people like that kind of thing. That's what they say.
Do they? Yeah. Who says that? Who's they?
It's those people.
Those people.
Yeah.
The kind of people who would say those people are the kind of people who are currently marching in Virginia today.
What's going on in our country, man?
It's Saturday. You know what's going on in our country? Let me sound like Alex Jones.
Let me turn my volume down for a second.
Yeah, let me sound like Alex Jones or Rush Limbaugh for a minute, and let me ask a question. When in this country did we stop punching Nazis? We have whole, like, franchises of entertainment based on the core concept of punching Nazis. Okay? Captain America, for example. Where did he come from? Captain America was about punching Nazis. And now, in 2017, we literally have people marching with swastikas and Confederate flags.
Where did these people come from? I'm not really familiar with the situation. I don't pay attention to the news on the weekends.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what today's rally was all about. Today's rally was all of these alt-right groups, these super hardcore, basically they're white supremacists. There's no other way. They're white supremacists, okay? Yep. And they all converged in Virginia to protest that so many cities in the South are pulling down Confederate, because apparently the South is filled with Confederate memorials.
They're
protesting the fact that these statues. So they met at the statue of Robert Lee or whatever, Confederate lieutenant, whatever. I don't
General
give a shit.
Lee.
Because here's the thing.
Woo-wee.
Here's the thing. There's no such thing as Confederate pride. There's no such thing as the Confederacy. Lost the war. Okay? The Confederacy and their flag, they were trying to become the dominant government in North America. They didn't want to have the stars and stripes. They wanted to have the stars and bars. They wanted to have a different president, and they wanted to have a different set of laws, and they fought for it. There was a war. Humanity has sort of, over thousands of years of its existence, humanity has sort of established this thing where if you want to start a government, you have a war. If you lose, you don't get to have your government anymore. Do you get it? The Confederates. Turn it down. I'm not done. The Confederacy lost the Civil War. How does it make sense that so many people in the South can continue to wave the stars and bars, the Confederate flag, that they could go around and go, you know, yeah, the supremacy, the Confederacy. How can they do that?
It's stupid.
It's a usurper government. It's an alien government that was trying to come in and take over the American government, and they lost the war. I don't understand how we could tolerate for so many years allowing those memorials to stand.
That's true.
It doesn't make any sense.
Man, and can I just pause you for 1 second? So bad things happen when you look up Civil War music on YouTube. Like, the fourth video down is entitled Run, N-Word, Run. What the fuck is wrong with people?
And I'm sure it's filled with comments of people going, why can't this be on the radio?
Yeah, no, I'm not even going to look at the fucking comments.
White supremacy in America right now, all right?
No.
It's just made up of sad, sad white men. That's all it is. Sad white men and the sad white women that love them. That's what it is. Because there are, because the alt-right and white supremacists are all about white, Catholic, male supremacy. They are about women being subservient. They are about other ethnic groups being kept separate and probably enslaved. And they are about other religions being basically killed. Okay? They are about pasty white dudes. Who are the worst? That's the problem. The people who are always the most vocal about white supremacy are the worst genetic representations of the white race. They are the ugliest, creepiest, usually with bad body odor and poor IQs. And these are the people that scream white supremacy.
Thank you.
You don't see successful white people marching in the streets saying white supremacy because it's people who have nothing going for them and they need somebody to blame. So they blame the government and they blame the other religions and they blame the colored people, all of the people who aren't white. That's what they blame because they've got nothing else going for them. Feel free to tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're right. Well, I mean, what can I say to that? There's nothing else I can say. Man, there's people beating on black people with poles for no reason. What the hell's going on in there?
Yeah, and that's just basically like, you know, these guys went down to the march led by that fucking idiot, what's his, Richard Spencer, you know, Nazi numero uno. That's the other thing.
That's not his name.
Richard Spencer.
There was another guy. Who was the guy at the head of the KKK?
Oh, that's David Duke. But Richard Spencer was the one who organized today's rally.
Oh, okay.
He's the one who got all these people together, all these idiots together. David Duke, I think he's in government now, right? I mean, he's the head of the KKK. He's the ex-head of the KKK, and now he gets to, at least at one point, got to be in government. I don't even know what he's doing right now. I knew he was like wasn't he like a governor or something?
I don't know. I didn't even know
like that guy was still around until he came out in, you know, support of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump goes, okay, you know, any support I'll take. I don't care.
The Confederacy's over.
The Confederacy is over, though. I don't understand why. Like, I can understand that there are people who want to support the Confederacy, but I do not understand the general tolerance of that idea in this country. The government should not be tolerating it.
So, what are you proposing that happens now? Are you proposing anything? Do you have ideas?
I'm proposing that the people who think that the reason why they can't move out of their parents' house is because of black people and the people who feel like they can't get, you know, a better job because, you know, if they want to blame it on the Jews, and the pasty guy who doesn't shower wants to say that it's because women are all terrible is the reason why he's not getting laid. I want those people to take a step back, look at their lives, and understand that it's not necessarily anybody's fault but their own. That's what I propose. I propose that people stop blaming other people, and it's never going to happen.
It's this kind of stuff that pisses you off as a human, because it's literally like, I mean, and I'm usually about the hope and the you know, being positive, but there's literally nothing we can do about these people, because you can't argue with them. You can't. Nobody's going to change their mind. Something that drastic in their life that happens is going to change their mind eventually, maybe, but, you know, sometimes even not.
Well, see, that there are people who are always going to be that way. There are people who, when the more opposition they face, only makes them feel like it only gives them more sense of they're doing the right thing, because they feel like it's that idea that, like, you know, ooh, I got all these haters, that you know, popular phrase that the kids are all using. Like, you can base your success on how many people envy and dislike you for it.
Don't hate.
Exactly. So that's always been the way. And I mean, we have always had these people in this country. In fact, you know, I was just that the podcast that I like to listen to, Last Podcast on the Left. Shout out to Last Podcast on the Left. Woo! They just did a great, I think it's like a four-parter on the Oklahoma City bombing. And that episode was, the way they did that was brilliant, because it totally pulled these parallels of what was going on in the late 70s and early 80s that led to the Oklahoma City bombing in these underground white supremacist communities and how that has evolved into the alt-right that we know and love today that is now actually represented in the White House making legislation, or at least attempting to, but they can't get out of their own way. These people have always existed. The problem is the internet has given them a place to connect easier.
Yeah, and they think that there's other people that agree with them because that's where they all are.
Because it used to be that you'd actually have to go out of your way to find these people. You'd have to go out to gun shows. It was only in certain regions of the country. I mean, you know, I just learned recently. I was listening to some history about World War II, and I did not know this because you never really hear people talking about it. And I never really thought about it, but you say it makes
sense. Jews actually do have horns?
No. Anyway.
That was a Borat joke.
There were Nazi groups in America during World War II. The Nazis sent representatives over here to try to rally people in America to join the Nazi Party. There were obviously, when you say it, then you realize it does make sense. Of course there's going to be people in this country that might think that the Nazis actually had a good idea. But what I didn't realize was how organized these people were. They were literally doing parades in New York City up in the lead up to the war. And it wasn't until things really started going crazy with the Nazis that we actually started fighting back. But there was a period before World War II when the Nazis were getting strong that there were Nazi people in New York City doing parades to try to drum up support in this country. But then we all got, but this was before we knew what they were about. Then we got wise to what they were about, and then guess what happened to those parades? They got the shit kicked out of them by people from America. Like, I mean, you know, the normal people from America, not the Nazi people from America. But people literally kicked the shit out of these Nazis in New York City. And that's what should be happening. Like, you know, fine. If there are people in this country who want to believe in white supremacy, fine. But the rest of us who are smart people should kick the shit out of all of the white supremacists. Not kill them. Just beat the crap out of them so they go and hide underground where they belong. I guess that's my proactive stance on it. It's 2017. We have active Nazis in America. We have people who are trying to bring back the Confederacy, or at least don't want to let it go. I mean, hell, we even have a growing number of people in the United States that believe that the Earth is flat.
Yeah, we do. The flat Earth people.
Okay.
I think that, I hope they're just trying to be stupid.
No. Again, it's another example of the idea of it's great to join a fringe group because you get that sense of validation that you're smarter than everybody else.
Yeah.
Because you can get these weird theories that if you say it the right way, it sounds smart, you know? And then you get to feel like everybody who's arguing against you is just brainwashed by the system. You know what I mean? And that makes you feel special. So I mean, that's what it really comes down to: is people don't have any feeling, you know, sense of self-worth, and they look for it in crazy places. And people just need to get, you know, I think education is a big part of that.
Education.
I think we need to put more money into education. I mean, to get too political, but I think we need to put more money into education so that people can be smarter, so that they don't do stupid things like join Nazi parties and think the Earth is flat.
Yeah. I wanted to play this because this is Dimebag Darrell's last song he ever wrote in May.
Oh, that's sad.
It is.
That's sadder than all the stuff I was just talking about.
But it's making me happy because it's like hearing a ghost. I never heard it before until like a couple weeks ago. And I've been really into music lately.
Yes.
Hold on, before we call Matt, let's get to this problem because this is inspiring me.
Okay.
Okay. Well, hold on, listen to this for a minute. It's all him on the drums and the bass and vocals.
And who's this singing?
Dimebag.
Is it?
Yeah, it's all Dimebag.
Did he sing?
Not really.
It doesn't sound terrible.
No, it's not terrible. He recorded this on the road on the bus, just like fucking around. Like, it was on the tour that I saw him, actually. But this is the kind of shit that, like, I gotta start doing this because I've been writing a lot of songs.
I can't. You should probably turn that down. I'm having trouble hearing you.
I can barely hear because I don't have headphones. Well, I have a left one. So, I've been writing a lot of songs, but I cannot fucking finish one And once I try to finish one, I get distracted with other things that I write. And it's just a fucking endless loop of me just trying to finish a song. And just I have all these half-done songs.
Well, I think the biggest problem is, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, which I know I'm not because I'm a genius, but music is really a collaborative effort. It's it's rare to find somebody who can like literally compose an entire song all by themselves.
Yeah, but I mean that's not true. There's a lot of songwriters that do that.
That literally do every single thing all themselves without any outside feedback?
No. I mean, well, maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
There's just I feel like there's something about music that's
It's communal.
So you can't do it by yourself. At the very least, you need to share what you're working on with people and get their feedback. And most importantly, share it with other musicians and see what they think.
Yeah.
So and especially for you, because I'm saying we need to get together and like get a bunch of us together and just kind of go through all this stuff that you've been messing around with and see what we can make with it.
Yeah.
Because particularly in your case, you've never written a full song by yourself.
Not really, no.
Like, you've never literally just sat down and put together a whole track that's you on guitars, bass, drums, keyboards, no. Whatever, or even vocals.
All right, time out. I don't care if this is boring. It's awesome.
I love you can hear all that stuff going on behind it,
yeah.
Too.
It's just a ghetto recording.
But, I mean, he put a little production into this.
Yeah. You can just hear the dime bag in it. Oh. I mean, obviously it's all him, but you know what I mean.
Let's call us on that. My phone is, like, slowly dying. You all set?
Number.
All right, hold on. Here we go. I'm gonna dig this up. I'm gonna dig it up, motherfucker. All right, 781.
So, all right, I'm gonna what's that? Pull back the curtain. So I was starting to dial the number, and you heard the dial tone because I had the dial tone up. And
why don't you just edit it out?
Why are you whispering this?
Because you edited out so much stuff on the last episode. Just edit this out.
But it's funnier to pull back the curtain.
Because
then I turn the mics off.
Don't mind the man behind the curtain.
So you could still hear the sound of the dial tone. So like, all right, oh, cool. They're doing something. They're calling people. There's numbers being pushed.
Yeah.
What's the number? I can just bleep it, maybe. Or maybe not. You know what we should do? Not bleep it. See how many people call Matt. That's what we're going to do.
Hello.
Hi. Are you awake?
Of course.
Okay. Are you good to talk?
I'm good to talk.
You are wearing pants, right?
Yeah, are they made out of paper mache?
Everything's made out of paper mache.
That's funny.
So let's talk Comic-Con, shall we, Mr. Luisi? I didn't know he was going to do this.
It's very appropriate.
No one ever was. To catch them is my real test. To train them is my cause. There you go. See? I ruined it for you. All right. So, you've been to Comic-Con the last 2 days, right?
Of course.
Unless I'm mistaken, which I'm not. You went to do the Stan Lee thing, right?
Yes, I went to meet Stan Lee. Well, get a picture with Stan Lee.
How much did you have to pay for that?
I paid too much.
How much?
Now, the weirdest thing is I was watching video footage of that happening, and it's literally you're just seeing groups of people just walk up, stand around him, and then walk away. No interaction with him at all. In fact, he might as well just be a wax figure the way he just sits there staring straight ahead.
We thought he was a wax figure.
Yeah, it's like, is he just that like old at this point that he can't even respond to people? Or were you told not to like touch him or talk to him in any way?
I don't think you should have to be told not to touch him.
I was thinking, like, you know, I'm like, if it was me, I'd like at least want to walk up and shake his hand and be like, you know, it's really great to meet you, Mr. Lee, or something like that. Just shake his hand, you know, tell him how great he is, and then take a picture. Like that, like, just acknowledge that he's a human person, you know. But the fact that it's like, it just looked like, it's like, It's like Christmas time when you see the kids taking pictures with Santa Claus, and Santa's just sitting there covered in, like, child pee and looking miserable and just waiting for his breaks and go get drunk. And kids are just being lined up to stand around him and then walk away. So, I mean, what were the, like, did they give you, like, a rundown before you went up to, like, you know, what to do and what not to do?
Yeah, they told us, you know, don't touch Stanley. Honestly, I don't even think he wanted to be there, to be honest with you. I think
he's like 94.
I think he was obligated because I think this is like his last one he's actually going to do. You saying that.
Well, no, I know he's in every one, it seems.
You know, he doesn't get paid, like, he as a creator of the, and whatever he created. He's just a fucking pretty much a glorified employee of Marvel.
Yeah, but he makes a ton of money.
Not as much as you
he
would
makes
think,
appearances
though.
In every one of the Marvel films. He gets paid for that. He shows up to the Marvel offices. I mean, I don't know how much nowadays because he's like basically a walking corpse. He's right up there with Larry King. But, you know, he gets residuals for those movies, and he got paid to be in them in the first place. He did a bunch of TV stuff. He gets residuals for all of that stuff wherever that gets played or streamed or DVD sales. And then, of course, he does obviously gets paid for these appearances.
What? This is Larry King farting on the air.
Let's get first the thoughts of Congressman Rohrbach on what you've heard so far. You see any optimism in it?
I'm listening
to a lot of people do.
No, it was a fart because he made a face.
It sound...
he was squirming in his chair like this, and then he goes, and he just makes a face.
You know, a little bit of a rant story here. You did the Stan Lee thing as a surprise for your girlfriend's birthday, right?
Yes, it was a surprise for my girlfriend's birthday.
So tell me about the whole plan there. So you kind of made a whole costume and everything to go with it.
Yes, I made a whole costume. I got her a costume as well.
But this was like the first time you guys, this is so fucking nerdy and nobody cares.
No,
like
know.
This is the epitome of who cares, but this is the first time you guys have ever cosplayed as Marvel characters.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say something significant. Jesus Christ.
That's what I just said. Like, I just fucking said.
This is the first time you guys went to a Comic-Con together?
No. Because what he did was, so if you don't mind me telling the story, Matt, just because I talk faster than you.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, so what he did was he wanted to surprise his girlfriend with, you know, me getting, I don't even know if you could call it meeting Stan Lee. It's just standing adjacent to Stan Lee is what it is, and getting your picture taken. Mm-hmm. But so what he did was like, all right, for doing this, we're going to be Marvel characters. So he's been working on this costume to be a really obscure character so she wouldn't know that it was a Marvel character. And it's this character that I had never even heard of. Not that I'm a great
Stan
Marvel official.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, probably. So it's this thing. It's he's called like what? Mad Jack, right?
Yeah, Mad Jack.
So he's like basically he's just a third. You know the Green Goblin and the Hobgoblin?
Yeah.
So he's basically just them. He rides around on a glider, and he throws flaming pumpkins at people. It's the same powers. That's one of the things that drives me crazy about Marvel, is like they're like the Hanna-Barbera of superhero comics. They get one idea, and they apply it to 20 characters. But so he's a Halloween-themed villain. He has a pumpkin for a head, and he throws pumpkins, and he flies on a glider. Yeah, so did anything interesting happening today, or is it just a bunch of sad basement dwellers wandering around the convention center in homemade costumes?
Okay, first of all, that's every convention. You son of a bitch.
The hotel after on a Sunday at like 3 o'clock in a convention, after a convention thing, the lobby looks like a fucking The Walking Dead. Just a bunch of and tuckered out
just
little fans.
Burned out nerds.
Everyday life.
Your everyday life. I will say I was surprised at the lack of people that I ran into, because usually when you have these conventions in town, Jackson, and I don't know if you never have to experience this because you come out here to, where are we, Brighton or whatever?
Brighton.
Yeah. So like I have to go into downtown, and when I'm commuting in and these on the day of these cons, like all of these nerds are coming through into the city. They're either coming in from the airport or they're coming in from the suburbs, and they're all coming in full costume. And these costumes can sometimes be fucking huge. So you're talking about the normal morning commute filled with cartoon characters blocking the way because these people haven't seen sunlight in like since last year. So they don't know what's going on. They're shocked because there's people who don't like train animated monsters for a living. And they're trying to go to work. And they're going to get in the way with their big wings and their big-ass swords.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about Comic-Con.
Why you rebel against everything? It's like that's your business, and you're rebelling against it.
He does
and business
everything.
Is good. I hate people. Okay, in general, I hate people. I wish there weren't any people.
Hey, can I try out a new stand-up joke I wrote on you for you guys?
Yeah, Matt, do you want to criticize Jackson's jokes?
Anything he says will be better than anything you can say.
Hey, shut up!
So I think kids should be named after the position or the reason for the sex that produced them. So you can name a kid Doggy, you know, doggy style. Missy for missionary, that's cute. Reverse cowgirl for those southern girls. And then, like my friend, his name's Caught It and Snatched from the Corner while your dad was beating you off while watching a black stranger fuck me.
That's good. You know, there was this comedian once who did a stand-up thing where they talked about how annoying it is that there are, like, you know, parents that name their children after traits they hope that they'll have, like mm-hmm. joy or harmony. And then that just made me think. Well,
huge
what
cock.
No, that just made me think about what the motivation was for the parents that named their kids Sid, which means sudden infant death syndrome.
Oh, that's fucking dirty. I mean, that's dark. That's
it is
like
dark.
That's like jokes about crib death.
Everything in my life is dark.
Enter Sandman was about crib death. Middle names are just another indication that people don't want to make decisions.
All right, Matt, you go to bed.
All right, talk to you guys later.
Sleep tight, kiddo.
Bye.
Don't let the bed bugs bite. I want to follow up on the K&M show.
Oh, yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah, sure.
Can we do that?
Do you want to play
can we
the
do
thing
that?
That, from them?
I don't think we need to, because then essentially we're just playing clips of them playing clips from this, and that's just going into a dark place.
Lots of layers there.
Yeah, I don't want to get that far down to the inception. But so anybody who listens
background?
To this show, which is pretty much nobody, might remember, it wasn't last episode, but the episode before that.
Yeah,
it was the episode before that. Episode 11, who cares, episode 11. We talked about the Jackson going out for the K&M birthday party thing, like celebrating the
anniversary of the station.
Oh, anniversary of the station, okay.
I went to the birthday party this week. I was on a boat.
Okay.
I'm on a boat. I was on a boat. Body boat face.
But there's a lot of pop references that you just put in there. But anyway.
That's my specialty.
So Jackson shared the story how, like, the whole crew from the K&M show got to go up on stage for a big, like, acknowledgement thingy or I don't know, whatever.
And by the whole crew, it was Heather and Kevin.
Yeah, but Jackson explicitly wasn't allowed to. And I kind of went on this little rant about how the least they could do is just let him go stand up on fucking stage with the, you know, everybody else from the show and just, you know, let some people cheer for him and then go home sad. And so I kind of went on this huge rant, and then it just so happened that occasionally the guys from the K&M show apparently, like, check in on this podcast. Like, you know, they'll just, on their own volition, they'll just pull up an episode and listen to it. And it just so happened that that was, like, the most recent time that Kevin decided, hey, I'll listen to the podcast.
Yep.
That's what he was saying on the air. So he heard that, and he wanted to, they played the segment of me ranting on the show.
And then they, so it started, the way the break was presented to me was, Jackson questions K&M's loyalty.
I'm Jackson, like, shit, questions the loyalty.
You never want to go into work thinking that your loyalty is going to be questioned. On either end.
Well, it was really me questioning their loyalty.
Yeah.
But,
so,
and not even so much.
You.
Not even so much. But anyway. Yeah, no, you pretty much just threw me under the bus entirely, which is just fantastic.
Well,
but,
no, I did exactly what you
I don't give a shit. My words stand for I stand by my words, and my words stand for themselves. So we got a good foundation and some strong feet on the ground. But anyway, so they played the segment on there of me kind of going off about how, you know, Jackson goes above and beyond at the station, and they should, you know, he doesn't get paid enough, and the least they could do is let him stand up on stage. And the thing is, it's like he always says that, you know, Kevin and Pete, the hosts of the show, or, you know, they stick up for him and stuff. And I said, like, yeah, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they like Jackson. I'm sure they're on his side. But at the same time, like, they're not arguing. And I'm not necessarily saying they should, but I'm saying if anybody's going to sway the higher ups about the value Jackson is to the show, it would be the guys who host the show.
Yeah.
Nobody but them really can understand and appreciate what you bring to the show. So I guess, and I just wanted to, like, kind of rebut what they were, you know, rebut, like, you know, butts. Let's have some butts. No, but just to go back and forth a little bit, I guess to really clarify and get you to kind of, you know, go with me on this. So on the K&M show, like, according to, like, the station, according to CBS, the people who own the show and cut your checks, you are a phone screener.
Yep.
Your job is to sit in the room that we're currently in and make sure crazy people don't get to talk to the guys.
Well, or make sure the crazy entertaining people do.
But basically, your job is to make sure that the good calls get through and the bad calls don't. Anything else you do is just gravy on
extra,
top of that.
Yeah.
It's all extra.
But in radio, there's a kind of an unwritten rule that you do what's needed of you.
Okay. See, the thing is, that's the unwritten rule in every creative field.
Yeah,
You go above and beyond what is expected of you. The problem is that the way this station is set up, and I'm not saying it's anything to do with Carlson McKenzie, all right? They're not the ones who write the rules. It's CBS coming, like this giant corporation coming down on this tiny little local radio station. And there's just this hierarchy set up where it's very difficult for you to be able to move up.
Yeah.
And I know you because you're always talking to me about ideas. You're always running stuff by me. But you put a lot of time and effort into coming up with material for the guys to do on the show, coming up with games, going out of your way to go out to public appearances, whether or not you're getting paid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like going out to like local events and trying to do like surveys and stuff.
Yeah.
Writing parody songs.
It's man on the street stuff is what that is.
Yeah. Writing parody songs for, you know, pop culture things that are happening that week, current events, stuff like that. Creating this material, which is why they've then dubbed you with the honorary title of co-producer, right? Now, the thing is, my gripe comes from the fact that you're doing all of this stuff. And if you don't mind me saying, and feel free to cut this out if you want to, but you're not being paid a living wage.
No shit.
For what you're doing. In fact, I think you should be being paid more for the phone screening work.
Yeah, probably.
Let alone all of the other stuff you get. I'm just saying, pay you a wage where you can afford the few things, because you live pretty minimally.
I mean, yeah.
You really do. So, you know... just a little bit more money, you know, or at least even a full, you know, just give you, put you on full time. I don't, whatever. But at the very least, they could let you go up on stage during the station anniversary party and just stand there with the guys from the show.
Yeah.
Okay. I know there's rules. I know there's a system, but is that too much to ask, to just let you go up there, to just throw you a bone like that, just so you can feel included?
Nobody cares. Is what it all boils down to.
And that's what my argument was.
Yeah.
Yes, they're on your side. Yes, they appreciate the things you do. Yes, they'll defend you, you know, when the time comes up. But no, they won't go out of their way for you. And it's not even necessarily that they should. I mean, I feel like they probably should. You know, I feel like if I was in their situation, but I don't know for a fact because I'm not, I feel like if I was in that situation, I would probably be bringing it up at regular meetings with the higher-ups. Like, let's do something for him.
Yeah.
And maybe they do that occasionally. I don't know.
But not as much as they probably could. But whatever.
And the thing is maybe they do. Maybe they do, and they're just, you know, they're not the kind of guys who are going to go around announcing how awesome they are because they stuck up for the Jackson Burns.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're, you know, doing a lot more than they say that they're doing, and they just humble enough to shut up about it.
I think it's probably a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
A little bit. But that's all. I'm just saying, you know, you do the job, you do more than it's expected. You could probably stand to at least get a little bit more money, at the very least be able to just stand up on stage.
Someday.
You know, that's all. And I mean, how long have you been working here in this position?
In this position?
Yeah.
It'll be 3 years next month.
And how long have you been working at this station?
7 years next month.
All right. I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah, it is. I've gotten two raises.
Yeah.
And neither of them started before. I haven't gotten a raise since I started this job.
So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know?
He brought everybody down with Nazis and we're not making any money.
You know what? Because the world is a goddamn depressing place. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. And you could try to make it funny. I could try to make it funny. But the world is a depressing place.
It is a depressing place.
And it's important for everybody to stand together and stop trying to pull yourself up at the expense of others.
I've been doing good work lately. Too, that's the thing.
I mean, that's debatable. Well, I know you as a person. Yeah. You don't usually do good things.
I can tell my funny story from the boat cruise. We went on a K&M birthday cruise the other day around Boston Harbor.
I would like to preface this story by saying yet another thing that you do that is above and beyond what is expected.
Going on a cruise on a beautiful summer
night.
Yes,
but what did you do on this cruise?
Oh, I was in a shark costume. Not the whole time, just for that one part.
But still,
you know? That was fun. People
loved
it.
I'm sure it was, but still.
But people loved me. Everybody, because of the fact that I'm victimized so much on the show, people love it. That makes people relate to me. So I was at one point late for going down to do the shark thing because I had four people waiting in line to take a picture with me.
Oh, aren't you just the coolest?
And then this old lady kept grabbing my ass over and over again. She wasn't even that. She was kind of a cougar, but she kept saying,
"This shark has the firmest hookish eye I've ever seen."
You know
how
like when a girl's hitting, well, I don't know. This sounds funny coming out of my mouth, but you know how when a girl's hitting on you and it starts getting uncomfortable. It was like that. She just kept saying she's like, "Oh man, I just want to grab your juicy little ass."
Oh,
but
man,
like,
you know when a woman's just hitting on you and it's just getting like, "Lady, come on."
She would say it so quiet though. It's so not quiet. Not so like she would say it like halfway joking and then halfway into the sentence you would hear her realize to herself that she was actually not joking. And then so I took a picture with her and she mimed giving me a blowjob, you know, mimed. Mimed. I'm going to say that.
Oh, she's subtle.
Is that how you say it?
Subtle?
No, mimed.
Yes, mimed. Because you're then, miming.
But when she goes, "Wait, no, my husband will kill me." And then this other guy, so this guy goes, "Hey, show me your hand." So I show him the fin. And then he's like, "No, show me open your fucking hand." And you know, I open my hand and he puts a bag of weed in my hand.
God, nice.
Yeah, it was great.
Shark weed.
Then I went to Andrew. I was like, "I don't have any pockets, so put whatever this is in your pocket."
And Andrew, who's constantly trying to like run for public office and stuff like that, is like, "Get the fuck away from me."
Yeah, no, he didn't. He's a good friend.
It's legal now. And now we've just ruined his running for
Boston
mayor. We've got to
bleep his name out.
Bleep out because he's an up-and-coming politician. Andrew, we love you. Bleep that too. All right, and now it's time to play. Oh, hitting the post.
I like it. It's fine.
Right? That's totally radio. That's totally Morning Zoo Crew.
Morning Zoo. Yeah, no, it is.
So, hitting the post is a game that I came up with based on the concept in radio of hitting the post, which is that thing that radio DJs do where they talk over the intro to a song and stop just before the lyrics kick in. And apparently, it's super hard to do. A couple episodes back, Jackson played a clip for us about him being challenged to do it on air on the K&M show, just at random.
And then kicking it to ass.
And he fucking took it down. And the more when he showed me that and the way he was telling me about it, I realized like it's like the fucking Olympics of radio, you know. It's a tricky thing to do.
It's an art form.
Even if you know, because the more I was thinking about it, the more I just thought how cool it was, because even if you know the song, you don't know exactly how long the opening is, so you're trying to keep track of the time before the lyrics kick in, trying to remember when they kick in, trying to keep track of how much time you have, and trying to think of something to say to fill that time that doesn't just sound like inane babble. So for this game, we basically do that. We have people do hitting the post on a song. They get to know what the song is, but they're not told exactly how long the intro is, which is something they do on the radio, right? Like you can actually, some DJs actually have that written down.
Well,
so that they,
not, you can
which
either,
I feel is cheating.
You
but,
can
you know.
Either do the, do it, you know, the research yourself or some... And like in the computer system, sometimes it says like, you know, in the parentheses, 13-minute intro.
Or
13-second intro.
Sometimes you just get lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's cool. So we're gonna try to do a little game where we have some people do that, myself and Jackson included. And
it's not myself; it's me and Jackson.
Me and Jackson included.
I'm gonna do mine first. This is WSUK. There's a band from Boston, East Boston, actually, Nuno Bettencourt, which shares the name with Alex, our East Boston guy, with the last name Bettencourt. This is the Who Cares podcast. My name is Jackson. Mark's sitting next to me. And this is Extreme. Get the Funk Out.
Not bad.
That was pretty good. Except I didn't really have any...
Wait, this is a local band? Who is this? What?
Extreme.
I don't know.
You know a couple of their songs.
Okay.
But that was pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, you turn it off before you get sued.
All right, this is Mark's turn. You know what? We should do a contest on this one and then have people vote.
Oh, I'm going to be so bad at this. Hey, everybody. You're listening to the Who Cares podcast with Jackson and Mark. We're taking you into the twilight hour, letting you rock it out all night long. So join us, kick back, and let your freak flag fly.
Well, I'm very impressed. That was good.
That was cool.
Yeah, now I just want to rock out.
I mean, it sounded like an idiot, but that was cool. I like that.
That was good. I'm impressed.
Everyone's wondering, will you come out tonight? Everyone's trying to get it right. Get it right. I think if I sing over it.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Yeah,
we'll just
pretend that you're doing it.
Everybody wants.
It's not actually playing.
Yeah. Everybody's going off the deep end.
It's okay. We're at a radio station. Everybody, and it's professional, I promise. Go to it.
Oh. All right, we can cut that now.
Okay, I'm done.
That was good.